This is the Black and Blue Report presented by ABC Insurance Agencies, a better choice for insurance. Now from Studio B, or wherever the Saints or Pelicans might be, here's Sean Kelly.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome into the Black and Blue Report, the podcast for Saints and Pelicans fans. We're on the brink of a big weekend for the Pelicans and Mardi Gras, too. Carnival spirit is taking over the New Orleans metro area. The rain's going to get in the way, I think, of some of the festivities. Daniel Sowerson's with us in Studio B today. I'm Sean Kelly. Daniel, I don't know if you've got time to do parades this weekend, but if you do, you might want to get the rain gear out.
I was thought about it for tomorrow with Crew de Vue, but if that rain's coming, I can't do it. I don't need the rain.
No.
I need to stay dry.
That to me is no fun whatsoever.
No.
What is fun, though, is tonight a big game at the Smoothie King Center. Pelicans and Rockets at 7 o'clock. If it's anything like the first meeting between these two teams, buckle up. It'll be fun. Big crowd tonight, too, Daniel.
Should be a lot of fun, and the crowd is supposed to be close to a sellout here, which is great when you have a team like the Rockets coming into town. And you mentioned the fast pace it's going to be, and I think a lot of fans are going to be doing a lot of back and forth with their necks a little bit tonight, but the last time it was video game numbers these teams were putting up. It was 130 to 123, and I feel like everyone had career highs, season highs, franchise records. I think everything was broken in that game.
Yeah, Etuan Moore was the big gun last time, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had a great game.
I think that's probably about the time he really started his hot streak of shooting as well. It was right around that time.
But also no Anthony Davis in that game.
Oh, that's right. Oh, good wrinkle there, Daniel.
Thank you.
Yes. Quick turnaround then on Sunday, 3 o'clock against the Clippers. So two big home games here this weekend. These games are so big, Daniel, I don't even know what happens after Sunday.
Tuesday against the Kings. The West Coast.
That's right.
Round out the homestand. But then next weekend comes a huge road trip for the Pelicans. You have Minnesota on Friday and Oklahoma City on Saturday.
Flip it. Yeah.
But back-to-back, and those two teams are right there in front of you. And with the Timberwolves losing last night, they've played more games than the Pelicans, but they're only one ahead in the loss column with New Orleans. So
I thought it was much. See, you're up on it this morning, that's for sure. I got a lot of homework to do.
It's fun doing scoreboard watching right now when you see the Pelicans having so much success and with all those teams clumped together in the West that you do start looking at these other teams. And even if you look as far ahead as San Antonio, they're only three ahead in the loss column. And that's where you need to watch out for. Minnesota and San Antonio has both played more games than the Pelicans. So if the Pelicans continue to win here, you never know.
Yeah. It's another chance to win four straight tonight against the second-best team in the West, second-best team in the NBA right now. Tall order, but, hey, it's a home game. Let's see what happens. Daniel, by the way, is going to call the game tonight on the Pelicans Radio Network with Victor Howell. It's national radio tonight on ESPN Radio. I'm going to slide over and do that with Vinny Del Negro. And then there's national television covers tonight. No Fox Sports New Orleans, but national television covers tonight on ESPN with Mark Jones and Hubie Brown. So Coach Brown will be here tonight, too. That should be interesting. Never afraid to say what's on his mind.
No.
Yes. All right. And then, of course, we got a little football this weekend, too. And if you want, you can kind of call it a Saints game because there's seven Saints players involved in this weekend's Pro Bowl in Orlando. The NFC will be coached by Sean Payton and his staff. Our own John DeShazer has been with them this week. Hopefully having a good time. We'll check in with him today.
Tough
on the
gig,
Black and
huh?
I know. Wonder if he's got the bucket hat and t-shirt like everybody else has been wearing there.
I saw him yesterday. He looked like he had the Bill Belichick hoodie on. He had the cutoff sleeves, but he had the hoodie on, and it looked very Bill Belichick-esque as far as his hoodie. But he seemed very comfortable there in Orlando.
We'll ask. He's going to be our first guest today on Black and Blue Report. And then Daniel will visit with Craig Ackerman, who does some television, some radio, but he's there every time for the Rockets, and he'll join us today to preview tonight's matchup at the Smoothie King Center. I'm ready.
It's going to be a fun night.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get over to Orlando, bring in John DeShazer from NewOrleansSaints.com, and then, of course, some Pelicans-Rockets talk with Craig Ackerman.
Boom! Now Uber takes you couch to courtside at the tap of a button. Heading to a Pelicans game? Uber helps you pass on the parking and focus on the fun. And if you're still an Uber rookie, you can get $20 off your first ride with code PELICANS18. Uber, a proud partner of your New Orleans Pelicans.
What is big? Big is Drew Holiday. Red hot from the perimeter and ice at the foul line. big as DeMarcus Cousins, a 6'11 defensive flamethrower that vaporizes man-on-man coverage. Big as Anthony Davis, a laser-guided missile of athleticism aimed at the rim. Come see the Pels in a Southwest Division matchup against Chris Paul, James Harden, and the Houston Rockets. Friday, January 26th, visit Pelicans.com for tickets. New Orleans Pelicans, do it big.
Welcome back to the Black and Blue Report. Here's Sean Kelly and John DeShazer.
All right, welcome back. It's time to talk a little Pro Bowl here, or as you would might describe it as the mini Saints Bowl on Sunday in Orlando, Florida. As promised, John DeShazer joins us from NewOrleansSaints.com. He has been firmly planted in Central Florida this week with the NFC and AFC Pro Bowlers, primarily the seven Saints players and Saints coaches all involved in this weekend's All-Star game. John, welcome in. First of all, there are various media reports that have described you as wearing a Bill Belichick / South Florida beach vacation type attire this week. Is there any truth to those rumors?
I'll tell you what, man. I don't have the guns that Belichick has, but I do have the Saints-styled hoodie. And actually, I didn't cut the sleeves off myself, so I can't claim to be as innovative as the Super Bowl champ. But yeah, I'll gladly wear the hoodie.
How many bucket hats are involved right now in Orlando?
That's a good question. They're available to any player who wants to wear them. So you see a bunch of guys with bucket hats on. Marshawn Lattimore's got, he's taking to putting the pool part in his mouth while he's, jogging around so it doesn't fly off his head, I guess. And Kamara and Mark Ingram, I can honestly say I don't think they're running hard enough for those bucket hats to fly off. So they wear them during practice. So it's a little bit of a relaxed atmosphere here, I would say.
Let's start with hard news. Is there any involving the Saints this week?
Well, mainly we heard General Manager Mickey Loomis basically confirming that when Drew Brees said he was wanting to be with the Saints and wants to pretty much finish his career here. And Mickey Loomis saying, yeah, that's exactly what we intend on doing with him. So, I guess the good thing is it seems like both sides are obviously amenable to getting a contract done with a potential free agent, the free agent, actually, not potential free agent, Drew Brees. So, it looks like he's going to finish up his career in New Orleans, as it should be. I mean, maybe a 2-3-year deal. We don't know exactly what it's going to be. But, when Mickey Loomis says, hey, we're going to have it done, and Drew Brees says, this is where I want to be, and that always is the makings of a good relationship. And, of course, I want fans to, get all in a tizzy if it doesn't happen overnight because, they call them negotiations for a reason. Drew Brees is supposed to ask for as much as he possibly can get, and the Saints are supposed to offer as little as they think they can get him for. So you always have to meet somewhere in the middle. But it seems like it's going to be a fairly good negotiation between the two sides.
The mood of the Saints this week, John, and I know it's a lot of fun and it's seeing friends and kind of basking in the glow of having a great season individually. What's their mood been like, though? Because many of us have not talked to them since, obviously, the end of the playoff run.
Well, they're upbeat. I mean, now, of course, you've got the natural, downside of having lost that game in Minnesota and then watching the Vikings go and really just not play well against the Eagles. So if you're the Saints and Saints fans, you got to be saying, what if, if it had been the Saints, could they have put on a better showing against the Eagles in the NFC Championship game? But for the most part, I mean, I think these guys are pretty excited about being here and pretty excited about, having deserved to come here. You've got seven players, you got the coaching staff. So when you mentioned this feels like a Saints All-Star game, it really does have the Saints feel to it with all the equipment guys here and all the trainers here and all the personnel here, just as it would be back in New Orleans, except for, obviously not the intensity that goes along with it. Well, I say not the intensity that goes along with it. Michael Thomas, somebody should tell Mike that this ain't a real game. So Mike's going at it hard. My prediction of the first day was that Mike was going to be the game MVP, the NFC MVP, because he's going to go at it hard, and I don't know who's going to be lined up against him, but they better be ready to play because he only knows one speed.
Well, didn't he win one of the categories at the skills contest last night, John?
Yeah, got the best hands. He won the best hands. Big, we're shocked on that one, huh? But, yeah, he's one of those guys who, as long as he's here, he's going to be going all out. It's the total opposite of Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram looks like he's having the best time of his life. I'm going to make sure I make a note of that today. It'll be on NewOrleansSaints.com. But down here, he's having a great time of it. So, you know, and that's the way it's supposed to be. A little bit of work and a whole lot of fun for you and your family.
Tell me about Sean Payton's job here this week and the challenge of, I guess, getting a team of that normally doesn't play together pointed in the right direction so at least it looks like football on Sunday.
Well, I mean, basically, you're trying to just give them some basic things. Basically, the terminology in the NFL, is, you know, there are some basic terminologies that, you know, every team uses. So he'll lean on those. And push up the shelves later in the game if he really wants to win. You've got, you know, five guys on offense that he can throw out there on the field. And he can run as much same stuff as he wants to, probably. So, but, you know, you basically want to get these guys out here. You want to give them a light workout. You want to get them off the field. Let them get a chance to get around Disney World and get around the Magic Kingdom with their family and the kids and all the people that they have here supporting them.
John, what about you? What have you gotten yourself into this week?
Pretty much nothing yet. I mean, Saturday's going to be our day. But really, we've been here on the field trying to get notes and features and, you know, all that good stuff. So Saturday, I mean, the day's, you know, the practice is pretty short and they end pretty quickly, but, you know, there's still work to be done. And, you know, we've been trying to get it done. So myself and Lane Murdoch Jr. and Alex Restrepo have been here and trying to churn out as much Saints content as we can possibly give everybody about an All-Star game. Now, sometimes it's not so easy because we really get these guys on one hand, just a relaxed atmosphere in terms of getting the access to them. But on the other hand, it's like, you know, it's like herding cats at the end of practice. I mean, they're walking off the field and you just, they're trying to grab as many guys as they can. So it can be a little bit challenging, and yet, you know, again, it's supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be a relaxed atmosphere, and it's supposed to be really non-formal, and you know, they've kept it that way.
John, have you covered a Pro Bowl before, or is this your first time?
It's my first one, and, you know, my only disappointment, and it's a slight one because, you know, it's not like my only disappointment is that, you know, this is the year it's not in Hawaii. Other than that, I can't complain a whole lot.
Well, we can have an in-office conversation about that another time. hey, thanks to you and your team over there for really keeping us close to this experience. It's been a lot of fun, and I hope that you enjoy the weekend, and we'll look forward to a recap from you on Monday. Is that all right with you?
That's no problem, and you know, I'll give a special shout-out to Lane Murdoch Jr., who's really turning out some quality stuff and you know, really compressed time schedules. Lane is really, really, really good at what he does, and we're kind of fortunate to have him.
No doubt, and all that can be found, of course, at NewOrleansSaints.com. John DeShazer from the Pro Bowl in Orlando with us on the Black and Blue Report. When we come back, we'll turn our attention toward the Pelicans and Rockets game tonight. Daniel Salerson visits with Craig Ackerman. Stay with us.
In 1907, Dixie Beer was a balanced, refreshing lager, brewed with love and top-quality ingredients. It would grow to become something that connected us, the neighborhood beer of every New Orleans neighborhood. And now, Dixie is back to that 1907 recipe, original and reinvented, just like its hometown. Visit DixieBeer.com to learn more, and always drink Dixie responsibly. Dixie Brewing Company, New Orleans, Louisiana.
This Pelican season, the entire family can do it big with the Pierre's Party Pack, presented by Cheetos Popcorn. Pelican's ticket packages are available for select home games and include three or more tickets, combo meals, Cheetos Popcorn, and an on-court free throw experience with Pierre the Pelican, all for as low as $54. The next Pierre's Party Pack night is January 28th against the Los Angeles Clippers. For more information and to plan your next big night out with the gang, visit Pelicans.com today.
It's Pelicans game day. This is the Black and Blue Report.
Well, tonight it's the Pelicans and the Rockets from the Smoothie King Center in downtown New Orleans. Joining us now is the radio voice of the Rockets, Craig Ackerman. Craig, good to talk to you. Hope all is well.
Hey, things are going well. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No problem. And things are going well for the Rockets. 34-12, winners of seven of their last eight, including four in a row. And they had the big win in Dallas on Wednesday night. What's been clicking recently for the Rockets?
Well, they finally have everybody back and healthy. You know, they went through a stretch where they won 14 in a row, and even in that stretch, they didn't have everybody completely healthy. And then they lost quite a few guys and hit the skids, dropped five straight. Their defense kind of fell off a cliff during that time, and amongst those injuries was James Harden being out with a partial hamstring tear, and he's back, and Luke Bamute is back, and Nene is back, and everybody is, you know, healthy and accounted for. And when the Rockets put out their preferred starting lineup, which unfortunately has only played together 15 times this year, they haven't lost a game all season. At some point, they're going to lose a game, but they feel like that when they have their full complement players available and healthy, then they can compete with anyone on any given night.
We talk about James Harden and Chris Paul. How do those two complement each other when they're playing on the court?
Well, like, you know, obviously there was a lot of discussion in the offseason about, you know, those guys being very high usage, ball dominant players, that they wouldn't be able to coexist. But they exist because A, they're both very unselfish. And B, they have tremendous basketball IQ, so they really understand the game well. And I guess I'll throw in a third one too. They have tremendous chemistry. This trade never happens if both James and Chris didn't want to play with each other. And so, you know, they knew and coming in that you know, this was going to work. And I'll be honest with you, from an inside team perspective, there was not a concern at all. From ownership to Daryl Morey, the general manager, to Mike D'Antoni and the coaching staff, on down through James and Chris, that this wasn't going to work. They felt that there were going to be some growing pains along the way as they got used to playing with one another, but they felt that this was going to be a smooth partnership and transition, and it's been that way. They've both been terrific late in clutch situations, very unselfish there as well. So, it's worked to perfection so far, and the only issue is that they haven't been healthy the entire season. We certainly hope for good health the rest of the way.
What's been catching my eye when looking at them in their recent wins, out of their last five wins, I think four of them they've held their opponents to 100 points or less. What about defensively? What's been working? Has they made a conscious effort on the defensive end? Because you know the offense wasn't going to be the problem.
Well, yeah, they knew going into the season that if they were going to get to where they wanted to get to, which is, you know, going toe-to-toe with Golden State competing for a championship, they had to improve defensively, and they were sixth in the league in defensive rating before a lot of these injuries hit, and then they slipped. But they've gotten back to they're getting closer to where they originally were. They feel with Clint Capela as their primary rim protector, and guys like PJ Tucker and Luke Bamute, who's their best perimeter defender, along with Trevor Ariza and Chris Paul's ability to defend. And I'm telling you what, James Harden has been very good defensively this season as well, that they have a team capable of being one of the 10 best defensive teams in the league. They believe strongly now with this roster, with the versatility of these players, that they, like Golden State, can basically switch everything on defense, and that's kind of the way things are going these days in the NBA. If you want to be a really good defensive team with all the pick and rolls and teams shooting lots of threes and a lot of really good shooters in the league, you've got to be able to switch everything, and so the Rockets have the roster to do that. And again, it slipped after they had some of those injuries, and I think some malaise may have also sort of set in there, but they're certainly playing a whole heck of a lot better defensively, and this has been a focus of the team since day one of training camp.
You mentioned Clint Capela, and I think James Harden is very glad that Clint Capela is on this team. Last game against the Mavericks, 7 of his 13 assists were to Capela. What's been going on with those two as far as what works for them when they're on the court together?
Well, they have incredible chemistry. I mean, Clint Capela, and this isn't a slight at Dwight Howard, because I really like Dwight, and I think he gets just way too much grief. But Clint is sort of everything that Dwight wasn't here in terms of, you know, Clint accepts his role, excels in his role. He's a tremendous finisher, has great hands. And because of his ability to accept that role as basically a pick-and-roll big, and in essence, that's basically the only place he kind of gets touches offensively outside of, you know, just straight lobs and so forth. I mean, it's not like they run any plays for Clint. That chemistry with James and Chris Paul as well, works perfectly, because he gives the Rockets the vertical spacing that they need, in their offense. And James is the kind of player that is devastating when you have a big who understands that role, comes out and sets the high screens, rolls hard, can catch and finish through traffic, and then makes defenses have to make decisions on whether or not they're going to pick up Clint the roller, James the ball handler, and if they decide to take one or both of those away, then James has the ability, and same thing with Chris, to throw the ball out on the wings or in the corners to open three-point shooters. And so that's why the Rockets believe that they always have a counter offensively to what teams do defensively. If they take away one thing and there's something else that's going to be available, and they trust James Harden and Chris Paul and their basketball smarts to read those situations every time they have the ball.
There wasn't a lot of defense played in the last meeting between these two teams, 130 to 123 at the Toyota Center. Should we expect the same exact thing tonight at Smoothie King Center?
I don't know if the score is going to be quite that high. Mm-hmm. I will say that Anthony Davis did not play in that game, so you know, that's somebody else the Rockets have to account for in the game. I think, you know, I'm not sure. I haven't taken that close of a look as of yet in terms of where New Orleans is in terms of denying threes. But in years past, they've been very good at taking away threes. But the Rockets feel like with their ability to space the floor, and you have both of those bigs out there with Cousins and Davis, that they're still going to be able to find pockets of open space to score points. The question is, you know, whether or not they have the fours and Ryan Anderson and P.J. Tucker, guys like that, to kind of slow Anthony Davis down. But New Orleans is playing terrific basketball. They're, I think, you know, barring, you know, significant injuries, they're absolutely going to be a playoff team and a team that nobody's going to want to face in the playoffs. So I don't know if the score is going to be quite that high, but I think the game's certainly going to be intense against two really good teams playing really good basketball, and I'm looking forward to it.
Real quick before you let you go, you mentioned Anthony Davis did not play in that last meeting, and you kind of mentioned Ryan Anderson and P.J. Tucker. Are those going to be the two guys mainly on AD, so that way we should expect Capella on DeMarcus tomorrow or tonight?
I'm assuming that they will, since Davis plays, Cousins plays on the perimeter as well, shooting a ton of threes. I'm assuming they're going to put the Rockets standard fives on Cousins and then match up with Davis with Anderson and or PJ Tucker. Perhaps we've even seen Trevor Ariza defend Anthony Davis. But again, the Rockets have a versatile roster that they feel like they have a number of combinations that they can use. But look, you're not going to stop those two guys. You just basically kind of want to get a hand up, try to slow them down, and hope other guys don't get hot and beat you, because those two big guys are amongst the best players in the league.
All right, should be a fun one tonight at the Smoothie King Center. That's Craig Ackerman, radio voice of the Houston Rockets. Craig, I look forward to tonight, and I appreciate your time.
No problem. See you soon. Thank you.
All right, good stuff. Daniel, nice job there with Craig Ackerman. I'm ready for tonight's game. We already covered that I'm excited. I really am.
It's going to be a fun night.
About this thing. Yes. By the way, the All-Star Draft was last night. Someday it will be televised, I guess.
It should have been last night.
Okay.
It would have been fun.
And so do I have this right that our guys here, Cousins and Davis, are going to be on the same team?
Yep, Team LeBron.
Team LeBron. What was the movie that had Team Whatever and Team Whatever? Twilight? Something like
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah.
Team Ed and Team...
Team Edward and Team... My wife watches all those,
okay,
and she's going to be really mad at me. I don't know the other one.
Right. I'm an old fuddy-duddy, get off my lawn guy. I love the East versus West, but now this whole Team LeBron team stuff or whatever.
Here's the thing. They try to revamp the All-Star game because everyone's like, oh, it's such an exhibition game and stuff like that. They don't try, but it is an exhibition game. You watch it for the superstars and the highlights and stuff like that. And so I don't know why they needed to change. I guess it's cool to see that LeBron will get to be on the same team as AD and Cousins. I get that part, but it was like a couple years ago when they tried to change the Saturday night, and it was a team slam dunk contest, and it was really bad. And,
yeah, no, it was bad.
You know, same thing with the All-Star game in baseball, where for the longest time it would be for home field advantage, and I'm like, well, why are you bringing in regular season and stuff into this exhibition game? It's an exhibition game. Why are you trying to change things? I don't understand.
Okay.
That's for another day, though.
It's still NFC versus AFC this weekend at the Pro Bowl. We do
right.
know that. Oh, whose team did Harden land on?
I think he's on Team Steph.
Okay. So tonight when we see Harden and Davis and Cousins, like they are tonight, they'll be opponents
right.
once again in February.
Yeah.
Tune in.
It's interesting, though. LeBron picked Kyrie, which I didn't see coming.
Uh-huh.
And then KD's on his team with Russell Westbrook. And then what was great last night is KD said... Because the reports were that LeBron picked KD first. And so KD's like, it was nice to be a number one draft pick for a change because he was drafted second. And then the Trailblazers tweeted, our bad. because that was the year that they passed him up.
Oh, nice. Nice little shot there. That I was. Like that little self-deprecating humor. Yeah. I do appreciate that.
It was pretty fun, but
I do like the fact that not all four of the Warriors are on the same team.
No.
Yes.
Right. Okay. It's good. It's good that they're separated a little bit, but it's also, I think there's some teams that are wondering why some of their guys didn't get in. I think Chris Paul figured he got snubbed.
Oh, sure.
Lou Williams thought he got snubbed. I mean, there's a lot of things that people that could say they got snubbed in each league, but again, it's an all-star game.
It's part of the fun.
Part of the fun.
Something to talk about.
Yep.
We talked a lot today and had two great guests. Thanks again to John DeShazer and Craig Ackerman both. Daniel, I'll see you in a couple hours here at the Smoothie King Center. You'll always be on my team.
I appreciate that.
Or I'll be on your team.
Don't trade me.
Team Diesel. There you go.
Team Sean.
I don't know about that. It's a lot of responsibility.
It'll be fun, though.
It's Friday.
I got my inhaler ready for tonight for calling this game. So
good move.
Yeah.
Good move.
I'll be ready to go.
Yeah. Big crowd tonight. Thanks again, by the way, to Rouse's and Cheerios. They're giving away cereal bowls to the first 3,000 kids in attendance tonight. And there are tickets available for Sunday, and that's going to be a very family-friendly start time of 3 o'clock. Go to Pelicans.com and finish your weekend with us. That'll be a lot of fun. Daniel, good to see you, and again, I'll see you tonight at the game.
Can't wait.
All right, Pelicans-Rockets tonight. Otherwise, Black and Blue report back on Monday, and I'm sure we'll talk a little Pro Bowl, see how those Saints did on Sunday in Orlando. So stay with us for that as well. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll see you next time here on the Black and Blue Report.